Of course, he won't be able to use it for a few months, Sally was saying. Still, we couldn't think of anything better once he's on the move.
And here, said Flora Marshall, standing up, two soft packages in her hands. Flora was older than the others in the group, older even than Ruth, but wiry and active. She knitted blankets for every new baby in the church. Suspecting from her size that Nora might have twins, she had knitted two receiving blankets, working on them during their evening sessions and the coffee hour at church, balls of soft bright yarn spilling from her bag. Pastel yellows and greens, soft blues and pinks intermingled. She wasn't about to lay any bets on whether they would be boys or girls, she joked. But twins, she'd been sure about that. No one had taken her seriously at the time. Nora took the two packages, pressing back tears. The soft, familiar wool cascaded onto her lap when she opened the first, and her lost daughter seemed very near. Nora felt a rush of gratitude to Flora, who, with the wisdom of grandmothers, had known just what to do. She tore open the second package, eager for the other blanket, as colorful and soft as the first.
"It's a little big," Flora apologized when the play suit fell into her lap. "But then, they grow so fast at this age."
"Where's the other blanket?" Nora demanded. She heard her voice, harsh, like the cry of a bird, and she felt astonished. All her life she'd been known for her calm, had prided herself on her even temperament, her careful choices. "Where's the blanket you made for my little girl?"
Flora flushed and glanced around the room for help. Ruth took Nora's hand and pressed it hard. Nora felt the smooth skin, the surprising pressure of her fingers. David had told her the names of these bones once, but she could not remember them. Worse, she was crying.
"Now, now, you have a beautiful baby boy," Ruth said.
"He had a sister," Nora whispered,
determined, looking around at all the faces. They had come here out of kindness. They were sad, yes, and she was making them sadder by the second. What was happening to her? All her life she had tried so hard to do the right thing.
"Her name was Phoebe. I want someone to say her name, do you hear me?"
She stood up.
"I want someone to remember her name."
There was a cool cloth on her forehead then, and hands helping her lie down on the couch. They told her to close her eyes, and she did. Tears still slipped beneath her eyelids, a spring welling up. She couldn't seem to stop. People were speaking again, voices swirling like snow in the wind, talking about what to do. It wasn't uncommon, someone said. Even in the best of circumstances, it wasn't strange at all to have this sudden low a few days after birth. They ought to call David, another voice suggested. But then Bree was there, calm and gracious, ushering them all to the door. When they had gone, Nora opened her eyes to find Bree wearing one of her aprons, the waistband with its rickrack trim tied loosely around her slender waist. Flora Marshall's blanket was on the floor amid the wrapping paper, and she picked it up, weaving her fingers into the soft yarn. Nora wiped her eyes and spoke.